want to start with introductions, giving him a little bit more time. You know, Burlingame is very far away, and his office is right
so
on the border.
On the border in between.
It's always worse when you're close. You know that.
That one traffic jam, that one accident that gets in your way.
That's it. Well, we're, you know, actually that whole street's being paved and bike lanes are being put in, so many changes on Murchison. Good morning. Thank you all for being here. Why don't we start with introductions, and we'll start with James, and we'll include everybody. And if you could say your city, too, please.
Thank you, Anne. James Castaneda, roundtable coordinator.
Bert Gennangis, Photograph Noise Abatement.
Good morning. I'm Kathleen Wentworth from the Office of Congresswoman Jackie Speer.
I'm Linda Wolin from the Office of Supervisor Dave Pine.
Ann Schneider, City of Millbrae.
Al Wash, Hillsboro.
Sam Fielding, City of Millbrae, Planning Department.
And Justin, you're on the phone.
And Jean.
Justin and Jean are here.
Oh, both of you are here.
Yeah.
And for people in the room, Justin and Jean, tell us your responsibility.
Well, I guess I'll start. Principal consultant at HMMH.
Thank you. Jean?
Jean?
Yeah, Jean Rindell, also with HMMH, supporting the technical and resources for the roundtable.
Thank you, and thank you both for being here.
Just to clarify real fast, Justin will need to jump off the line at 10. Jean will take over at that point.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Peter Marcuzzo, City of Oakland, Save Our Skies, East Bay.
Peggy McLaughlin, Town of Hillsboro.
Lynn Israelit, Burlingame.
Joe Balon, Burlingame resident.
Hi, Joe.
Billy Marie Anderson, Millbrae resident.
Great. Thank you for being here. We are still waiting on Ricardo. So first item on the agenda was number two, something I asked to be on the agenda, which was follow up on the discussion of trees and plant species. Is that me?
It is, and HMMH will do a little bit of follow-up with that. But you want to introduce the...
Okay, so one of the things that we have been learning through this process is that trees can attenuate some of the noise. So the discussion then went to what might be the best tree species, and attenuate means to absorb the noise as opposed to bouncing the noise. And the City of Millbrae is, well, we just created a new subcommittee at the council level. It's infrastructure and climate change. So I can't really say that it's going to be our first project, but our first project is really looking into trees. Over the years, we've lost both some of our urban forest on city property, but quite a few of the urban forest along 101 and in and around the BART station. So trees are very much of an interest for us. And I have done a little bit of research onto the species and then trying to find studies for this. So far, I haven't had a huge amount of luck, even though I have a couple of, at least one cousin with a degree from University of Washington's Forestry School. He said, you know, honestly, no one's specifically studied attenuation of noise from tree species that he could find. So, but we're assuming that it's going to be a thick tree with branches all the way to the ground. I mean, it's pretty intuitive. So it's going to be something in the pine or spruce or fir families and something that goes thick. So it could even actually be, it could be kind of exciting redwood trees. But that's as far as I've gotten.
And if I could make a note, I noticed on some of these wildland urban plants, Hillsboro, for example, we have a requirement now that tree branches cannot be beyond 6 or 8 feet from the ground. So that may be something you factor in on this.
That's a good point. Jean and Justin, could you hear that? You would think they're in Europe.
I did not quite hear that.
Okay.
It's something about 6 feet.
Right.
Well,
with,
can you repeat that?
With fire. Oh, go ahead, Al.
With the focus around wildland urban fire protection agencies, a lot of the cities are enacting new procedures and policies. Hillsboro, for example, enacted one that precludes branches from trees from being 6 feet from the ground. So when we look at tree species with respect to attenuating the noise,
yeah,
we're going to have to factor that in.
Okay. Yeah, thank
way,
you.
And
yeah.
By the way, that requirement is for zones that are deemed very high severity with respect to fire. But in a lot of communities like Hillsboro, that's well over 60% of the homes.
And we've actually just joined the high fire risk. The neighborhood in Millbrae is Meadows, which is one of the neighborhoods that's just begun to start hearing more noise. Meadows is our neighborhood tucked up by Yenipacera County Park, and the county park has long been on the high risk. So the new maps have just come out. So for good or bad, that's 200 to 300 houses. Good news to me is it's our widest streets in town. So, okay, Justin, take it from here.
Okay. No, I guess what I was going to add to this is this kind of goes into the whole modeling topic area of the agenda and something that we can look into as an alternative scenario that could be run in the model is with utilizing various trees or shrubbery or things that are built into the model. Also, the density obviously is very important. So not maybe just a single row of trees, but you know, we could look at that a little further, but it's also the thickness and how far back it goes. But it is something that we could look, I'm pretty sure, into the model as a scenario that we could run.
I would agree with that. I think now something is coming back to me that perhaps somewhere in highway studies, they've looked at the density, the number of rows of trees that could help with that. So maybe that's a new direction to start doing some homework in.
Sam Fielding.
But in the model that we're... Go ahead,
Justin. Justin, then Sam here.
I was just going to say the model that we would be proposing to use, Sound Plan, predominantly is used for highway studies. And it would be an adaptation to, you could put any kind of source in, technically, any, you know, source of noise, but it's predominantly used in highway studies. And that's kind of why you would see such things as, you know, foliage and ground cover and hardens into the model because they're used to seeing those things.
Sam went. Ricardo has just joined the room. Ricardo, we're going to continue and then I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead, Al.
A question with respect to the study. Could you give me some specifics of exactly what your variables will be? You're looking at types of vegetation, including trees. You're looking at density. You're looking at height at certain levels, and are you also looking at best locations too? What is the study entail?
I think it's up to I think you guys in telling us kind of what we would be wanting to look at in terms of scenario. We could adjust heights and types. And various, the variables are there. I think we would want to involve one of our Sound Plan modelers in a conversation regarding what is possible. What are those exact variables that can be changed within the model to look at the differences? But those are possibilities that could be considered. And in terms of location, I'm not quite sure. I would look to Ann to elaborate on that. I think there was a specific location.
I guess what I'm getting at is I always like to start from the end going back. So what would the report look like? And then that would help us determine what the variables might be. So I'm just trying to figure out, do you have anything in mind with respect to the end result, what that report would be, what you think would tell us?
Yeah, it would tell you a few different things. One is we can output various contours, while that's a pretty picture, I think what we would be looking at really is a number of different receiver locations where we would be able to tell you what the difference is in the change in noise level from these various scenarios. So you could see the deltas that exist from various things.
Well, I'd like to see you sort of outline what you think the net result might be, and then we could give me a better handle on what exactly you're doing to make sure we're covering everything we need to cover. Because I think we want to know more than just that trees can reduce noise. As long as you're doing a study, we had to figure out are there differences in height, are there differences in what is density, what does that actually mean? Is it one row, five rows, three rows, what does that mean? And stuff like that. I'd just like to have more specificity around it, as long as you're doing a study.
Yeah, and I think that's what we would further discuss in this modeling topic later is potentially what we would want to look at. Obviously, the number of scenarios determine the scope of work and the size of how long it would take, but also, and we could involve somebody that's more in tune with the model to maybe even discuss those variables or list them. So that you have a better idea of what can be changed and what can be looked at, and also what kind of can be provided.
One of the questions I guess I have is, with respect to location, what is the difference between a row of trees along 101 versus closer to the towns? Is there, what is the impact of that, and which is more effective? You know, that's what I mean by location.
Okay.
I would add to what Al is thinking. If we assume, if we're looking at runway one left and one right, and we've got jets right there, and they start their takeoff, so that plume of noise comes up. If we had trees, I'm assuming that we can't put a row of trees right on McDonald Road or Airport Boulevard, whatever that street is called, right after you make the left turn from Millbrae Avenue, because that's too close. So then we can't put it on the left side or the east side of 101. So we're looking at the west side of 101. How tall would the trees be? There'd be a height limit there too, just from being on airport land use. We'd have a height limit on the trees. What I've heard from residents in our neighborhood, which is called Bayside Manor, we have the Highline Canal, which drains Millbrae predominantly. I don't think it has any San Bruno water. It may have a little San Bruno water in there. There used to be a grove of trees there. When BART came in, they cut down that grove of trees, and it eventually became a surface parking lot and the BART structured parking. Now that, I don't know how long you've been in Burlingame, but that probably also absorbs some of the noise that was heading towards Burlingame. It's heading sort of up Millbrae Avenue, up towards Truesdale, and I'm not sure where Hillsdale might fit in, because this noise bubbles out. I think, as someone who's very visual, I try to see things in my head, which makes me sound a little odd, but maybe part of the study, Justin, is to get a better understanding of how the low-frequency noise moves. Is it billowing out, like I have in my head, billowing out like a sandstorm, or is it a straight, we know it's not a straight line. So that might also help with where trees might go. Does that make sense to everybody?
I was just going to make a comment, because when we're talking about that specific location, which is north of Millbrae Avenue along 101, there's clearly an opportunity to add some trees there, but that's not the case in all the other areas. On south of Millbrae Avenue, there's really not an opportunity there to plant many trees. I mean, it's pretty well built out right there, and I don't think that we have the opportunity that we have in the north. So that's one of the things to keep in mind. It's not that we have a choice where to put these trees. There's just a few locations that make sense.
I agree with you. At the same time, when I can't sleep at night and this rolls through my head, what if all the way along the train tracks, once high-speed rail decides where they're putting everything and the electrification is done, what if every train corridor also had this swath of trees running all the way down it? In the part of Burlingame where you've got Adrian Road, there's a little opportunity for there. It probably couldn't be two or three, but it means dealing with Caltrans and 101. I think, you know, where we put up hardscape sound barriers where we just bounce the noise. Maybe this is an opportunity to work with all the other transportation agencies. I'm thinking El Camino Real. I would love to shrink Millbrae Avenue, Millbrae's El Camino Real, which is the widest in its entire length. We have the opportunity. We could put, we couldn't put trees all the way down to the ground because that becomes a burglar target, you know, just on one point. But we could do something that might capture some of the noise up here. I don't, we're never, it's never going to take away all the noise, but maybe all of these increments, as we do our climate change plans and we're adding trees to absorb carbon. And if we look into the neighborhoods, let's say we're looking at the, what's the shopping center in Burlingame, where your office is?
Burlingame Plaza.
Burlingame Plaza. Look at that plaza. Right now it's got some fairly thin eucalyptus trees, but what if we redesigned collectively our side and your side? I mean, our side meaning the Walgreens. We start putting up more trees. This is going to take a long, long time, but it could start absorbing some of the El Camino noise, too.
So then back to Al's point, and Al's point is, what do we want to get with the report, with the study, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's important that, I think what you just said, I think you just gave us some ideas. We need to model it to see where it would make sense to add vegetation, and I think when we're looking at the end game of that study is, we need to, if they tell us that adding one row of trees doesn't do anything, well, you know, that's going to take away a lot of what we were going to do. But if they tell us one row does a little bit, two rows does a little more, then we can kind of come up with a plan as to where we want to pursue this. And so I think that's where I'm feeling that we should follow, and that study needs to tell us what possibilities there are.
Mm-hmm.
Then we
I
go
agree.
And find the locations where that makes sense. So that's where I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense to me. Tell me what's going to make a difference, and if it's not going to make a difference, we move on to something different. But that's what I'm seeing in the study, in the modeling. Justin, any comments?
I'm going to comment here. Well, plus Justin's going to sign off here momentarily. I think what we can do prior to modeling is provide information on vegetation in terms of reducing noise levels. I think we could probably pretty quickly put together something like a white paper to describe, the physical characteristics of vegetation and how it reduces noise levels, because I think something like that will help us at least understand what is required to begin to look at where the possibilities lie. I will say that trees and other vegetation is also like a barrier, in that to be most effective, it would need to be close to the source or close to the receiver. Otherwise, the sound paths typically go up over the trees or the barriers and provide negligible effectiveness. So there is a lot to locating these barriers or trees or other types of vegetation that is done. And as Ann said, mostly with highway work, they do burns and things like that, earthen burns with vegetation on them. So there is a literature out there. We could do put together, like I said, a white paper for a better understanding of how trees and burns and vegetation actually reduce noise to help try to figure out where to place these rather than, just put things in the model and see what the model says.
If I can just add to that, from Millbrae Avenue exit up to San Bruno, and in fact underneath all of the new overpasses into the airport, and I think it goes all the way to San Bruno Avenue, there already is a berm on the west side of 101. It used to have more trees on it. Every widening of 101 has thinned out those trees. So there's an opportunity there with a combination. I'm glad you brought up berms. I mean, if we put the trees up higher already with whatever the landing flight planes can do. The other opportunity is on the Millbrae Avenue exchange, there are two, three areas where we could plant more trees. It'd be a little more difficult to plant trees where our sewage treatment plant is, but there's a possibility there. So look at that intersection. There are three parts of the clover leaf there that are, there's some wetlands in there. There's reeds, but we could think of some trees right there which would help that sound coming towards Burlingame and Hillsborough.
So do we all agree that white paper, I think, would be a good addition? Al, does that kind of take care of?
I totally agree. I just like to understand the components of it.
Yeah, me too.
So we know sure what we're asking you guys to do and what it comes back with.
So that would be a good step before the study so we can all kind of understand it a little better. And I'm sorry, but Lynn, go ahead.
Can I ask a question, please, about the, I understand you're using the sound plan model and since there really might not be anything that's already out there for airports, we're gonna try and modify this highway model. But I just wanted to ask two questions. One is, has that been used with low frequency noise? What is the noise? I mean, is this even a valid model for what we're experiencing? Justin?
Did you guys hear the question?
I did. How effective are trees?
Yes, it hope. Yeah.
No, not trees.
All right, bye, Justin.
Are car engines the same as jet engines?
Yeah, with the sound plan model that we're trying to use to modify it for airport use, does it work with, car noise is not low frequency noise, rumbling, right?
Right, so the model, while it's used for highways, it wasn't designed for highways. It was designed for all types of noise sources and how effective things are at reducing those sources. So we would put in aircraft noise sources into the model. And also the model is frequency dependent. So it will tell you by frequency how effective certain barriers or trees or other mitigation options, how effective they would be at reducing the noise in the area that you want the noise to be reduced. So I understand your point about low frequency noise. I will say that low frequency noise is also the hardest to do something about because it has such a long wavelength that it kind of doesn't see some barriers at times. So we do have to pay attention to the fact that some of the noise that's emanating is low frequency noise, but it's not purely low frequency noise. So we would let you know the results would be by frequency and how effective it is for low frequency versus the mid and high frequencies.
Okay, thank you. But I thought that the main point of this group was dealing with the low frequency noise. So we're not talking about overhead noise or high frequency. I mean, there is some whining that people hear from, but from engines revving up and being tested. But I thought that the main problem was, the sea level, low frequency noise that we're trying to address. So I'm just wondering if this model will work.
So let me make sure. So your concern is that before we go down this rabbit hole of vegetation, that we address whether the vegetation is going to have any impact on the low frequency noise versus the other higher frequency noise.
As well as if we're going to be looking at buildings and other, other factors, is that going to talk at all about our problem?
And I guess we can include that in the white paper so we can address that. Is that okay with you, gentlemen?
Correct. I agree with that.
Okay. And then, that makes sense?
Yes, thank you. I'm just concerned that...
No, and I think that makes a lot of sense because that is what we're here for, right? The other noise is addressed through the regular round table.
I would only add one of the new noises that I hear and that I think my residents are picking up is a higher pitched constant sound that started when the new terminal went in. As close as I can tell, it went in when Terminal 1 went into use. And it's it was on again last night. Sometimes it'll go for about 30 minutes and stop. So it's constant and it's long. And I have no idea. It's just this kind of higher, it's not high, it's not low, it's somewhere in here, and it's a new sound. And Al and I were talking before the meeting started. We're going to go out and do some field trips and try to figure out where you hear it work first, and sometimes sound can be really hard to describe, but this is a new sound. Bert, I put it in a couple of the things that I wrote to you, that, and I tried to sit there at night and say, wow, this has gone for about 10 minutes. It's not like a typical airplane. It's really hard for me to try to figure it out, and it kind of, as far as I can tell, is coming in the direction of Terminal 1 between that and my house. So, but I don't know how other people are experiencing that particular sound. So, and it's only, I occasionally hear it during the day, but I hear it more at night and evening.
So I go back to Bert's analogy always of those low frequency sound is like the subwoofer. Doesn't need to be aimed anywhere, it just kind of goes all over the place. So I think that's a very good point. I think it's important that we look at that. Make sense? Bert, you like quoting you?
You may quote.
Okay. Okay, anything else with the trees that we want to talk about, or can we move on?
Could I ask that at the end of each topic, we have a summary?
Trees.
Here's what's going to happen, and here's who's going to do it by when. Because I step away from these meetings, and I'm often frustrated going, now what? So can we just recap what we've just decided? Justin is going to do
Justin?
X by when?
Justin, when can we have the white paper by?
Justin had to hop off.
It's just Gene.
Gene's on, I think.
Gene, I'm sorry. When would be a good time for that white paper?
I'd have to go back and ask. I can't commit to something that's a short turnaround. How often do does this group meet?
So probably our next meeting will be in January, early to mid-January. The next roundtable meeting's in 2 weeks, so I was already kind of noodling on this here. I would probably say, we could probably have something mid-December. I mean, I would work with them offline to figure out when we would have it. Definitely would be before the next ground-based noise meeting.
Sounds
January.
Good. So we can live with that. We can say that we will have it. And it may have to be ahead of schedule, not right the day before.
No, I agree. I think it would be at least two to 3 weeks before the ground-based noise meeting. So, but I'll work with Gene and Justin as far as what the time is.
So can we say early January?
You're talking about the white paper early January?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, one of the interim steps could be an outline of what exactly the topics are and the questions that are going to be asked that we could look at in advance of that before you do a lot of work researching it all. I mean, if we could get a sort of a summary of this is what the report might look like by categories, even though it might change later when you do the research, that might help us identify that we made sure we've covered the right topics.
Let me work with them offline, because my understanding is, just to kind of summarize this, is the white paper is kind of giving us an overview of what vegetation attenuation can do.
Okay.
And based off of that, then we can sort of work towards what are the individual steps so to your point. So let me work with them offline and see if maybe they are comfortable doing an outline that they can give us in the next week or two. But I'm thinking we can definitely have something in a month that is the white paper, that is the overview. It may not be super specific to us, but it is here are the tool sets that you can utilize for vegetation attenuation. Is that how I feel like I caught that?
I
just don't want to get too much into the weeds.
You're doing
the study.
The stages. You're doing a white paper overview.
Right, because I feel like that's where we're going
to
pick out, it's based off of our specific situation, based off of the effectiveness of certain vegetation and such like that. Now we can start looking into more where the plume's happening, where's this, where's that. And that's what we can get into the details on the study.
Okay.
Does that sound?
I would only add, too, that part of doing a study is also identifying the unknowns that they're just dismissing, gaps of information. And that's when we go back out to the research community and say,
okay,
we need additional work. So it's not a bad thing to say we don't know. It's actually a good thing
identifying
what it is we don't know. As frustrating as that might be, but that's science.
That's
so,
a good point. I agree. Yes, Kathleen.
Jean, hi, this is Kathleen. And I may have missed it earlier, but are we going to include any data at all or ideas from other airports? I can't remember where, but someplace I know has tried this. Can you recall where it is? And so, has it been tried elsewhere in a similar circumstance? Good, bad?
And what was the
lessons
result?
Learned?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gene, you there?
Yes, I'm here. We can also state where things have been done one way or the other. Sometimes it's the removal of trees, sometimes it's the addition of trees and other vegetations. We could try to incorporate some of that as well. Again, it's about timing issue. I think the most important thing is to get the kind of what I would say the FAQs or the, you know, the real facts about, you know, vegetation and trees and the like and how it reduces noise. But we may have at our fingertips some examples that we can provide as well. I just not sure of the timing of it.
Okay, so we're ready to move on. Anybody else? Any last comments on this section before we move on? Okay, so then we'll move on to item number 3.
We're last one more on the round table, Sophia.
Spectral data analysis. And I think that would be Eugene.
So spectral data analysis, what, you know, where is it we want to go? We've talked already about low, mid, and high frequencies. Pretty much anything we do in terms of ground-based noise, you would want to look at it on a spectral basis, meaning frequency content. So is there further direction or things that you are wanting to convey for us to be sure and include?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was under the impression that you guys had received data from SFO and you were actually analyzing it. Is that not correct?
If Justin has, I have not been privy to that. Bert, do you know whether we've received data?
You have. We pushed it to you 2-3 weeks ago now.
Okay. All right, so we have the data, and Justin has people probably analyzing it, but we don't have any results at this point.
Okay, so...
And no timeline for when that would be?
Thank
it's
you.
Supposed to be available to this meeting.
It wasn't necessarily going to be available at this meeting. It was because they had to... We had determined those... Last meeting, we determined those dates because we were going to look at... Right, Bert, remind me. We were going to look at the... deltas between them, and that was significant. And Justin was going to, well, Bert was going to provide Justin the data, and then they were going to crunch it. But I think what we were expecting, Gene, was that you'd have a timeline of when that crunching would be, even if it wasn't available today.
Okay, so I'll work with James as well offline on that, but if we've gotten the data 2 or 3 weeks, we probably have more of an idea. I just personally don't at this point, but I would gather that also around the same time as a white paper, we would have those analysis results as well.
By January?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yes. So by the end of the year or early January.
And again, those dates were chosen because of significant changes in the airport construction and flight patterns. Is that remind me why we chose April 2013, April 2014, and September 2014.
The basis for the decision was pre-Metroplex, during runway construction, and then post.
Pre and post runway construction.
Okay, so I'm guessing we have not much more to say about this. Any public comment on this item?
Can I make one question?
Yes,
actually, I did reach out. Gene, could I go real quick?
Yes, please.
I just wanted an update, you all, because I did reach out to Justin. He was able to text me back. They expect a memo on the spectral analysis probably within 1 to 2 weeks.
Excellent.
Oh.
That's great news.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Could we ask that it get sent immediately so people can consider it?
James, can we distribute that or put it on the website? For
We can. So as soon as I get it, I think I'll just send it out to you guys, membership. I can give you some time to look at that, and then I'll take action from you about posting it online.
So it wouldn't yet be public at that point that you sent it to us?
I mean,
I can share it with staff, but keep it internal.
Jean, is there any reason that that couldn't be made public right away?
I wouldn't have reasons for it not to be, but I'll leave that to the roundtable and or
Sanford. I mean, I can't. I'm just saying by just
make that call after they see it.
Four members of the roundtable, I normally will give it to you for a couple of days and then take direction saying, yeah, James, go ahead and post it online. So
perfect.
I
okay.
Okay.
That's the only thing I was trying to clarify.
Everybody okay with that, Dan?
I'm fine with that.
So we just give it to us for a couple of days.
Sure.
We can chew on it and then we'll
yeah, and it doesn't
post
take
it and distribute
it online.
It,
so
it,
that's
and nothing would preclude us from sending it to a couple concerned residents to just get their feedback.
That would be fine.
If they had
that would be your purview.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you'll send it to Peggy. I'll send it to Lynn.
Okay.
What about Joe?
Who?
I'll send it to you.
Don't forget Joe.
And I'll send it to Joe.
By the way, this data. My question on the 2013-2014. There's the assumption. That's when we've had an increase in the ground noise. Can't say that. Does these analyses show any other spikes? Any other times that you had any particular spikes?
We picked those dates based on, as Bert said, the dates of construction of the runway extensions,
okay.
And also some feedback from the public about spikes.
Okay.
So I think we were specifically looking to see if the runway extensions, right?
Correct.
Right, yeah.
The
consensus
was unanimous that it was
yeah.
good.
Okay. I have no problem with those dates. I was just wondering if there were any other spikes that popped up over a time period that just sort of surprised people, and if there's some reason for it other than the wind.
I mean, there have been. I think that's why the community is here, that
right.
have been more recent. But this in particular was related... Right? Was related to the infrastructure.
RSA project.
Yeah. I'm bothered by Ann's comment about the increase in Millbrae residents with this particular noise. And if that has happened in the past for some reason, is there some way of measuring that? Or is just this brand new, totally out of the blue? So if there are spikes in the past or some different noise in the past, I guess I was just wondering if that occurred.
On and off, small quantities.
Just, okay. So what you're saying, no, you don't think there has been?
Nothing right. dynamic.
Yeah. Okay.
Bert, what about when I was up and I sent you one of those memos and you wrote back to me saying, do you think it could be because two planes are taking off in close proximity of each other
mm-hmm.
and together the two plumes are, I don't know if exponentially is
yeah.
the right term to use, but it's either... one plus one, and now you've got a wall of two, or you've got some exponential number of that. So that could have been happening on or off, because sometimes it's just pretty amazing where it comes, and it's usually at night. You know, it's usually, it can start as early as 10 o'clock, but definitely from the midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning time when they seem to happen. Less so maybe in the 3, definitely in the midnight hour and the 1 o'clock in the morning hour. And I don't know if we're going to capture any of that, or is that just sort of a new theory thinking, could it be this? Plus, the other thing that I've noticed recently is that my house, which is just a block from here, is picking up sound that's from the north. So I think we're getting some runway 28 sounds,
yeah.
which is new, because I'll be out in the backyard or I'll open my doors, and it's definitely coming from Terminal 1. So from my house, Terminal 1 is to the northeast. And this is something relatively new. And I'm thinking it's once the skin went on the hotel, that the sound might be coming from 28 coming this way and just curving around and coming in this new direction. I just don't remember feeling it so much, because you feel this noise too, feeling that it's coming from the north.
That's the funny thing about it. I'm thinking about that. I'm saying it could be 1R and 1L just bouncing off the hotel.
That's the thing
to learn a little more about.
See, I have to have you all over to my kitchen porch, which is on the second floor, and you can see the international terminal from there. And it's just a sense that you get, because it is a physical sound. It's a noise, but you feel it too. And it's just something relatively new.
Can I ask if Joe or Lynn or Peggy, have you heard any felt any increase in ground noise over the last 30 days, 40 days?
I feel like it's been really noisy, but I mean, This, I feel like this is so much supposition. Like, is it because it got colder and the weather is different? Is it because
so many
versions? I mean, yeah. we can talk forever about like what we think is going on, mm-hmm. but we don't know until we get somebody, an expert.
Well, and that's it. I had the story about some guy who lived up by Hoover and never had a problem. Then he moved down 5 blocks down the hill into the flats, and he said it's horrible. Mm-hmm. So something's happening where parts of the cities are impacted and others are not, and that's what I want to understand a little better. And so that's what I'm trying to get to study, because what I'm starting to believe after going through this for a while is that it's not so much that it is higher, it's just bouncing to different places. So where you didn't hear it before a certain period of time, it all of a sudden did, because now the procedures are such that it's bouncing a different way. And so when this guy told me that story, it kind of confirmed, but anyway, I don't know it. I'd love to learn more about it.
Ricardo, that's one phenomenon. The other phenomenon is when you tell a neighbor what you're working on in terms of stopping this, then all of a sudden they go, you know, I never heard it before, but now that you've said it, it's driving me nuts, mm-hmm. right? The low, particularly the low-frequency
right.
stuff. They all hear the high-frequency stuff. The low-frequency stuff, they go, I wish you'd never told me this.
I know.
To be honest, and that's why I haven't tried to get my community upset, because we can't solve it quickly, and I don't want to frustrate them yet.
Well, I think we all agree that it's very complicated and maybe new and not yet been studied problem, and it's a big problem, which is why, you know, I'm glad we're looking at this model and looking at vegetation, but at some point, is there any plan for this group to engage like a Stanford sound engineer or somebody I remember at Jackie Spears' town hall meeting, it was specifically brought up, we would like an independent expert study to look at this, because we can all sit here and use the tools at hand and talk about things, but we just don't know.
I would say yes, but I take it farther. My goal is to get back to the designers of the engines. And if you heard what I heard when the FAA representative came, you've got, when you're certifying something, at least in my field, you have a number of different things you can change to reach the new level. And if it's easier to fix the higher frequency noises, the engineers have concentrated on the higher frequency noise. If we put pressure on the lower frequency noises, saying you're not gonna achieve your certification for stage 6 or whatever, then maybe they'll start really, really focusing in on the low frequency noise and fix that. But you're always, it's always cheaper to go for the easier things to fix. Easier is high frequency, boom. That's what I took when that man came, and I think you were at that meeting.
I was.
And was
I
the only one that took that when he said that?
My point is slightly different, though, that I feel like the sound traveling and why it affects certain areas and the fact that there haven't been other airport studies, which we've talked about, that we don't have a lot of prior studies to refer to. I think it would be a important thing for us to engage somebody to start to study this for us. We spend, a lot of time and a lot of money on, the new sound monitors. That we could spend a fraction of that money to pay somebody to. Anyway, that's not on the agenda. It's just something that we've talked about that seemed to have gotten lost.
And I think that we've all along, and I think we all agree that eventually what we want to do is conduct a study like that. We're collecting enough information to, because when we first sat down, we're like, we're going to do a study, and somebody said, well, what are we going to study? So we're trying to collect enough information so that we have the basis to tell them what to study, because we really, truly, when we started, we're like,
I would say we're also building the case for perhaps, ultimately for all of us, for even the people in Woodside, and the purview is the one place we'll actually get to sleep at night.
Well, that's federal.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
federal. But you have to build a case. I work in the environmental field. You have to start building your case. You have to get everybody together and walking in the same direction before you get something that big.
So clearly outside of our purview, but if we give them enough information that really the mitigating, we can't mitigate it and it's still an issue, that can contribute to doing something like that.
Yeah.
And I agree. We're not going to change that. but we might provide enough information that we can impact that decision.
I see.
At the same time, we also have to bring in all the other airports too. At least the airports that have people along whatever, however far that sound. I mean, there's still people in Pacifica that believe that they're getting ground-based noise, and Brisbane still believes they're getting ground-based noise. So that many steps, sadly.
But yes, that is
Thank
our...
Thank you for giving me the vision that you guys have.
And to me, that's always... That's where we're headed, and we've talked about it, and trying to put some of our resources together to get that accomplished. But first, we need to understand what we're setting. So, and
one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Sort of germane. Jean, are you there? This is Kathleen.
Yeah.
Hi. This is not a suggestion to create more work for you, but just a question. Do you have in your archives at your large organization anything comparable to a ground-based noise 101 PowerPoint? Because I think, I mean, from what I've read, I don't know that even we're able to ask questions in a way that is reflective of reality without having a little bit more personal knowledge. Because I think from what little I've read, I mean, am I correct that ground-based noise emits in sort of a conical fashion, conical pattern behind the taking off aircraft? And if so, then that...
Yes, on aircraft noise, yes, it has a certain directivity based on the engines, yes.
So that if it's what I've read is it's sort of a conical path, then we should be able to focus our attention, you know, within that expected path. And so I think we all need to know, you know, in kind of a layman's term that we can all understand, what that ground-based noise does, and then the other part of it is your white paper is in mitigation on it, which is thought to be be not very much, but I think we could think outside the box and come up with other things that others haven't thought of. I'm confident of that. So is there something like that, either a white paper, a PowerPoint, or whatever, on ground-based noise basics or low-frequency noise basics?
Yeah, I think a presentation like a PowerPoint would be beneficial, and we have a number of presentations that we can draw from to create one. I don't think any of them are exactly what you were alluding to here, but I think there's bits and pieces. There's just a lot to ground noise. For instance, the weather greatly affects the how it transmits that noise out into the, you know, communities. Weather is much more of a factor on ground-based noise than when the aircraft is in flight. So there's a lot to it, and yes, we could probably put together a presentation on ground-based noise from things that are in our archives. I'm just not thinking of one that would exactly meet the needs here, but I'm sure we have the information to pull something together pretty easily.
So, Gene, would it be okay to put that presentation on our next agenda for January?
Yes.
Okay, James, you got that? Okay. And you got something?
I would only add that we're seeing a growing number of days with high particulate matter, and there are no monitors for particulates. The only monitor for particulates in San Mateo County is down in Redwood City on the closer to the East Palo Alto side, which is a problem for a different issue. So when there are high fire days, that might be doing something too. So just throwing that out there. I don't know if particulates do, if they absorb, if they bounce, I have no idea. When I first joined the roundtable in 2016, I think it was your team that came together with this really great video that showed the airplanes taking off, and it kind of did this three-dimensional. Do you remember that three-dimensional presentation?
Yes.
This is a three-dimensional problem. I don't know if eventually we can get to that. But that was a great thing in helping me visualize all these airplanes and all the different airports.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was.
It's on our website.
We actually had some presentations done by both Wiley Labs and BridgeNet that showed the modeled sound based on IM at the time. and it was run into a video. So as the aircraft got closer to the ground, you saw the noise bloom grow louder, or larger, I should say. And so, yeah, we had a couple of videos like that.
Can you send that link out again? Because I don't.
Let me dig.
Okay. Yeah.
But was that more about arrivals than departures, or
we had both?
Oh, okay.
I just need to look back in history and see.
I don't remember one that had to do with.
It just was a great. It was a great visual for those of us who are visual learners. We could absorb that.
And by the way, I would second what Kathleen suggested because. And when you do it, Gene, if you do it with an eye towards sending it out to a resident who has any questions about what ground-based noise is, because I get questions all the time about what is it and how does this work and why am I hearing the noise, and it'd be nice to send them something that could sort of give them a primer on it.
That would be good about that presentation. I think that was a really good idea to create that presentation. I think that, thank you, Kathleen, for that, because I think that would be a perfect thing to be able to hand out to people when they ask me about that.
Exactly.
So I think there's a lot of confusion over hot, dry air versus damp, moist air or damp, cold air. Because when I read the comments from the next door community, I've got people who are former pilots, and I think they're saying the wrong thing. And I try very carefully when I'm commenting on next door to make sure that I'm correct. But I've seen some of the pilots who happen to live in this area saying, oh, no, the noise carries more on hot days than it does on the cold evening days. And so I think if we could get into a little bit of detail and help explain that and lock it in.
Okay, Joe, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. If you're looking for background studies on ground-based noise, the airport's defense in our mass action suit has both submissions from Steve Alverson at Environmental Sciences and a January 2000 study prepared by BBN Technologies that was submitted by Edwin Ganoug. So you can get yourself a good 50 or 60 pages of tutorial on ground-based noise because you've already got it.
Yeah, It's already there.
They submitted it back in September.
We already distributed that and posted as part of this group.
Okay.
You distributed to the ground.
Is that on the website right now? Yeah. It's from one of our earlier GBN meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, is that where do you find it?
It's
attached to agenda.
It's attached to the agenda, and I think there's a tab on special reports.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you're talking about as simplified for the layman, but one thing you find in this three or four community grouping is there's plenty of people who are well above layman's understanding of what's in these. So you need both sides.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great, thank you, Joe.
Could you tell me later where I can find it again because I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us all. It's been presented, submitted means nothing to those of us that don't go chasing after websites.
Well, and I go back to that PowerPoint presentation that can have footnotes to these studies so that people can chase after them. So. I think it's a very valuable thing. I appreciate that.
So what I would encourage everybody to do, because I'm now collecting many, many feedback items, and it's hard for me to go to today's website for the agenda, and that's where I will typically put in anything that's a follow-up item that's a report when you say post it to the website. At the moment, that's the best I can do as
one-man
show on that. So, so I can put that a link back there again, but find it real fast. Any other items or anything else?
Okay, so I don't think we've touched. Do we want to move on to number four?
Before we do, just as a follow up here, so I have that in 1 to 2 weeks, the spectral analysis should be complete. So I have a reminder here. I'll follow up on the 2nd with Gene and Justin to see where that's at. If we have that by then or before, I'll get it to the ground-based membership and then with the instruction saying, can I post it to the website? And I will do that. If it's prior to our December 4th big roundtable meeting, that will definitely be a report out item that is available at that time.
Perfect.
Gene, I will follow up with Gene also for a ground-based noise 101 presentation to give at our next meeting. And then I will try to post a link to refresh your memory on those studies that we have so far in our possession from prior studies.
Perfect. And what I was thinking, James, is the PowerPoint presentation can include like hyperlinks to those studies.
Okay.
Can I just clarify something for the public, which might be helpful? Gene, this is for you too. If the spectral analysis memo is available in time, that it be published as agenda materials on your report from today's meeting.
Perfect.
So that it's in the December 3rd?
My cutoff will be Friday, so.
This Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, because
well, Thanksgiving.
Well, if it's possible, that's what we'll do. If it's not, then you won't.
I mean, I can do an inline distribution in the lead up to the meeting, so that's fine too.
Well, and if it is available by the time the meeting comes up, we can mention it as a.
We'll have it available to pass out, and I can send it in advance. So it doesn't, I mean, ideally, yes, we try to put it into the packet, but if not, I'll find a way to distribute it prior to the meeting.
Perfect. Okay. Everybody good? Peggy?
Yep. Thank
timeline?
You. Yes. Thank you, James, for summarizing. That's great.
Is it too far to ask that the ground-based noise 101 would then go into the March roundtable agenda? So we're getting
trained. Have it presented in January.
If we present it in, so we have ground-based noise or roundtable in January and then March, right?
Roundtable December and February.
February.
Ground-based
okay.
noise in January.
So then in February.
So if the presentation, perfect, yeah. Because if the presentation happens in our next ground-based noise, absolutely it'll be ready. So I can when I present out for the roundtable, that would be included in the agenda
February,
packet.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, we can.
Okay, so let's go to item number 4, the noise modeling sound plan with terrain and man-made structures. So,
Gene, why don't you summarize what that means?
Thank you.
Sure. So, as we were talking about earlier, our intention is to use sound plan to analyze the ground-based noise, and the reason for that is that sound plan has the ability to include any and all structures, other, you know, a terrain, other things like that that help block and or reflect noise. And so we would envision having a large inventory task, if you will, acquiring all the information we would need, you know, building heights and, you know, where they were at on the ground. So the plan view as well as an altitude type view of all the information within a certain study area. So all that goes into sound plan. So then when you put in your noise sources and you have an aircraft, starting its takeoff roll and then proceeding down the runway, you can see then in sound plan how all those structures and hills and vegetation and things like that that we talked about, how that will affect noise. We've done this for other airports. We could probably dig up an example or two so that you're aware of kind of the outcome that might come from a sound plan study, and then you would also see the importance of having all of that information as accurate as you can on what exists in the study area so that you're accurately modeling those things. Does that help?
Yeah. Anybody have questions?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Linda. All right, so Millbrae has two TOD projects, two transit-oriented development projects coming online. The first one, called Gateway or TOD 2, is on the BART side of the property. It's 4 buildings. I can get you, or Sam, we can get whomever we're directed to, those plans. Now, in theory, they're hoping to break ground on December 4th. I think staff, we think that that's going to get pushed into January. Now, when that project went through the planning process and through council, I brought up soundproofing materials. Now, the building that's closest to the runways is the Veterans Preferred Housing. It's going to be a 5-story, 80-unit affordable housing unit, Veterans Preferred. And, you know, like all affordable housing, it's going to be built by CORE, is one of the partners. They're going to do some soundproofing, but that's not high on their list. Now, two ground-based noise meetings ago, we talked about physical material, some that might be better at absorption. We weren't looking at absorption at the time. So if there are materials, we're kind of in this place. It's not, the city cannot say, hey, you need to add these possibly more expensive materials to absorb sound as opposed to bouncing it. But this is happening, and again, by January, the parking lots go away, the foundation, it gets graded foundations, structures probably start going up. Sam, you'll know better than me. If we start in January, we're assuming framing might start in the summer?
Well, I that would be a question for the building department. I'm planning. So building would be able to provide more.
Well, can I ask it a different way?
Anne, yeah, sure.
Start.
Gene, I think maybe the question is, well, there's two questions in there, but one is, what's the input into the model for a proposed or planned new structure? Like, how do you include that in your modeling as opposed to existing structures?
Yeah, and I want to...
And then the second question would be materials, I suppose.
But and also, because we have a lot of... We rezoned the whole north end of our Rawlins area, so for us...
You've got a five-story coming.
We'd like to include that into the modeling, too.
Yeah, so kind of planned structures or new zoning. Like, how does that work in the model? Or do you only use existing structures?
Well, we can put it in the model. And all we would need is the footprint and the height of each of the structures, and then we put them in the model.
Then our second project, what we call TOD1 or our Sarah Station, is two 10-story buildings and one 9-story building on the west side of the train station. And these are predominantly glass buildings with some balconies. And now they're semi-sort of on hold because High Speed Rail came in and said they're going to eminent domain this whole area for a surface parking lot. So I can't give you a groundbreaking, but we were very close to being able to put that on a schedule. I will get all of those sent to you. There's some other Millbrae projects that may not affect the other areas. We've got a couple 5-story buildings coming in on El Camino and eventually something happening at the El Rancho. Oh, and the Burger King building is an 5- or 8-story building. All of those.
But you have, the city has all that data, so you
yeah,
can provide
so
that.
Yeah, so we should
to
get
HMH
that. So we should send it to you, Gene.
Coming online soon.
Bert, do you want this information too, or just all to Gene?
I'd be happy to be a CC on it.
Okay.
But, Gene's the primary.
Yeah, we can get you the elevations, the footprint. We can actually, for two of the projects, get you the materials. But my question is, if ground-based noise was a little bit ahead and there was a material to opt to put in that would be better at absorption, this is the time to really make those recommendations.
Does CEQA look at sound?
Sound is in it, but I would tell you from what I've read of CEQA documents and noise, it's really not very sophisticated. It's not where it's going to have to be as we become ever more dense. On that. I mean, I tried my best to get them to think about other materials, but they're going to come back. They pushed back and said cost, especially when it's affordable housing. But
the developers
on the cost of the materials. So it would be really nice to have a cost of sound absorption materials versus traditional construction materials.
Is there anything, actually, your comment about what CEQA does, I wonder why they don't consider noise pollution as part of their pollution event.
It's there. It's a category. Even when you read the NOL for the new work that's going to happen at the north end of SFO, it talks about noise. But other things, maybe it's because noise is just so difficult to get your arms around. It's not like how much NOx or SOx, sulfur or nitrogen, is going to be produced by this activity. It's just harder to measure. I would think.
But that's interesting, yeah, because what is not the impact on that site itself, but the impact on the surrounding neighborhoods for the noise, and that's an interesting
But EIRs do that. They look at the neighborhood, but it's like when our planning department, you're going to remodel a house, you notice 300 feet out. Noise could be 2 miles out.
That's my point, yeah.
Yeah. Which is why some of your residents said, when we're taking away the parking lots, why didn't we notify all of Burlingame that the parking lots at BART were going away? I mean, I actually had some of your people write me saying, well, Milbrae, you should have told us the parking lots, individual postcards to everybody in Burlingame. Like, well.
Okay, so then this noise modeling, back to the noise modeling, and when...
Well,
when can we...
I have another question for that. Gene.
Hold on. He got disconnected.
Oh.
I'm not sure
how. Okay.
Well, then I can't ask him.
So, Lynn, I'm going to get that in my head. Two things. First, the buildings, and then the materials of the buildings.
But
both
even,
good points.
So okay. That, for the new stuff, the, like, in-process stuff, but then there's the inventory that exists now. So my question to him was, how... That's a massive job for HMMH to be collecting
that
inventory.
So coming back
in a second,
because I was distracted trying to update the website. So the new noise study stuff that we just mentioned is now on today's page. But what is it that we're giving Gene to look at?
So, okay.
So we're giving all the plans of recent
the new buildings. The new buildings and in planning.
What's the tab? No, he's not, but I'm just trying to catch up with Mike.
Oh. Gene?
now he's back.
Yeah, hi, that's me. I got disconnected. I'm back on.
Okay. So let me ask, and I'm sorry. Is the noise modeling? Are we just talking about? We are talking about specifically to this area. What the structures are that exist right now. What the topography is, and how that impacts the noise movement. That's what we're studying. Correct.
That is correct. And as we also said, we could also put in the future buildings as you know them. To be planned for.
Okay. Did that modeling include materials that are used in the different buildings?
It does not. The model, you can put in different materials for like barriers, so we could actually do different materials for structures, but that is typically not done because from I have absolutely no experience of seeing that they put on any sound absorbing materials on a facade of a structure mostly because of maintenance more than construction costs. Just like a barrier, they tend to not have sound absorbing barriers. There's only very rare instances that they do that because they degrade over time and you have to replace them more often than just a barrier.
So the
materials are just assumed to be hard materials on structures.
So this noise modeling, and again, talking about the future, moving towards a study, just to try to understand how noise travels, how it's impacted by man-made structures. So we can add materials later on. You don't seem happy with that one.
Well, you know how much effort goes through in choosing materials. I mean, for everybody who doesn't know, contractors bring in the materials, you debate the materials. In the case of these two projects, the actual materials were debated over two or three council meetings to get stuff that would blend down into a one-story neighborhood. The Gateway project is all by itself, but also to make something that would look interesting from 101. To be honest, to look interesting from people flying in, because one of them is a hotel, and they want people to say, oh yeah, I'd love to stay there. And, you know, so there's, and the branding that you put onto a material. So we work the materials a great deal, but they are all a hard brick-like, they're all man-made materials now. I mean, someday they're gonna have man-made sorb absorption materials that look really good.
Sounds like not yet.
I don't know that we also have.
It wasn't the criteria that we looked at in the materials. They're pretty much all standard materials being used. And, you know, like a hotel comes in, a chain has certain materials that this particular brand of hotel uses.
But let me go back to...
It gets a lot more...
Let me go back to the noise modeling. So the noise modeling, what you were proposing, Gene, does not include materials. So let's put that aside for a second. And how soon can we get the results of this noise modeling?
Well, it's a large effort just to put in the inventory, so not sure how long that would take. It's a matter of getting all the information on the existing buildings, terrain, and all that into the model, which is a few weeks of time usually, because it's not It depends how we get the information. It's usually not in digital format, so we have to actually put in the coordinates of the buildings. But if we can get more things in digital format, it expedites it.
Well,
and then it's
Gene,
putting in the source noise into the model as well. So I just can't comment yet on the time to do it. It's pretty extensive what we're talking about right now.
Gene, this is Linda. Let me ask you about the inventory process. Is there a way, I mean, that does sound like a very huge job, but is there a way, with the council members' permission, for cities to help you with that? Can they provide the information since they're here and they know what structures are here and in a format that helps you? Because
It would be good to have those contacts ready. The first step we do is figure out what's publicly available, and because the last thing we want to do is enter everything in by hand. So we first start out and figure out what's publicly available, and then we can reach out to the cities if we run into roadblocks with what's publicly
available. We'll do our best to get you the specific. If you can tell me the format you'd like it, if you can send that to me, Gene, then let me work with our building department. Again, this is all fresh. This is what we're working on right now. So that should, for the two new projects. Now, most of Millbrae, on the east of El Camino Real, is one story, two story right now, so there's nothing, all of that in time will change. On the, we've got a couple of five-story buildings that are already in place. I'll get you those too, especially the ones that are pointing towards Burlingame and Hillsborough. So that would be the Dillon Hotel. It's five stories tall. It would be the bank on the corner of Millbrae Avenue, which is really only one-ish story, but it's three stories. You know, the way they built those weird banks in the 60s. We'll work on that and try to get it to you. I leave Wednesday night, so I will try to get this done before I leave.
Well, you're
that's
right,
pretty easy.
Yeah.
But
right.
That might be affecting to the...
I kind of feel like there's a menu of things that Gene needs as input.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure what is on that menu. So some things are publicly available and some things might not be publicly available that city staff on the ground can probably identify. So Gene, is that something that you can provide us?
Yeah, I don't know it completely because I'm not a modeler, but I will get with our sound plan modeler, our main person there, and he can help us come up with a list of things that we would need and how we typically go about getting the information that we need and in what formats. So
yeah.
I'll have that as an IOU, and that should be regular, pretty straightforward. So what I'd propose is that we get something to James this week for that, and then he can distribute it to the people on the call here.
Yeah, and I would just suggest that for, like, if there's quote unquote labor to be done to track that stuff down, that that is if city staff is available to do that rather than HMMH, because that
mm-hmm.
I'd rather they spend the time on the modeling and the technical analysis.
That's right.
Rather
just tell us what format to give it in, and we'll
right.
try to provide that. You know, and on the Burlingame side, there's a couple of two-story buildings along Mullins Road on your side and our side.
He'll explain. I mean,
yeah.
We'll,
all of that would be.
And anyway, yeah, but they'll let us know what they
need.
And we'll go through our, and I'm sure we have stuff we did through the general plan that would be very helpful. So, if you guys are, Gene, you will let us know then through James.
And then you guys are just subjected to whatever we're doing.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm getting a little concerned now that that rather than mitigate the problem, we might be increasing it with these buildings if they're not absorbable materials.
Yeah, but the specter of SB 50 is out there. So you have no choice.
That, but,
which is a housing.
Well, but you may, I mean, let's say, for example, that we identify that planting trees is helpful, then that becomes
puts a higher priority on
right.
that first
yeah.
thing.
But that we don't have the
I'll throw one more thing out there is we're negotiating with High Speed Rail after their eminent domain comment. There are high power wires that run from Burlingame through Millbrae and then go into the seasonal wetlands that SFO owns. And one option underneath the high power lines is to build a three-story parking structure that could help high-speed rail achieve their parking goals instead of turning our other side into a surface parking lot. So that's something, it's BART land. It's planned to be a surface lot, but that's something that could change. It's nowhere in the, it's not even in a concept stage right now. But by then, maybe there are new materials that could be built in that are absorption.
Here's my concern. If we're building these buildings, once they're built, they're done. I mean, you're not tearing them down. And so if there's some, if there's a sound issue with them that could be material, that needs to be put on the table to see whether or not there's a way to either recoup the costs or have it paid by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess, City of Millbrae, I would guess if you're telling me it costs X amount of dollars to soundproof buildings from the exterior, and that cost is X, that may be something that the city might want to pay rather than have to deal with all the...
Well, I would say, why would the city pay for noise coming from another point if there is X cost? And it's not soundproofing as much as sound absorption. And then that difference would be made up by the source of the pollution. In this case, the source of the pollution
are
the airlines.
Let me interrupt for a second, because did talk about in this committee about these materials. And we did ask questions about the materials and how they would absorb. And the answer that we got from I think it was from Justin, was that the materials are effective right near the receiver. So basically saying we could change the whole wall or the whole building over here, and it's not going to change what the people behind it hear. It's going to change what that building hears. So those materials that we talked about, and somebody correct me if I'm mistaken, but that's my memory of what we got from when we talked about the different materials. Does anybody remember that? Gene, do you remember that?
I didn't bring my notes.
Anyway, my recollection.
Well, what I can say, I don't think I was at the meeting where that was discussed, but what I can say on the material side is that if it's absorptive, then it will reduce the reflected sound off the building, so wherever that reflected sound is then going, so assuming it's going back towards the airport from whatever it's being reflected, because that's where the sound source is, or some angle therefore, but you're right. Behind the building, it's not going to do anything more than any material would. And again, it's just a matter of how it's absorbing the noise, which means it's not allowing as much noise to be reflected, but it doesn't absorb the noise in that it doesn't it doesn't reduce that amount that's going through the building, if you will.
Great, thank you. So, but that is significant. That was not my understanding. Because we were talking about changing the material of the glass barrier, and we were told don't bother because it doesn't do anything.
Because it's already up. It's already above the glass layer. But, you know, it's funny, in my head, when I was thinking of the buildings or the tree, well, the trees absorb, is would the sound, so let's say off runway 1 right, it hits this new veterans housing. Does the sound bounce back at the airport, or does it wrap this way?
We don't
have that modeling, that idea to know. Right. If it bounces that way, then it hits all three of our cities.
Yeah, and we were told...
Or could.
And we were told, again, once when we were talking about the blast barrier, we were told it goes over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... So I have
right,
that pretty set in mind.
It had to be within 15 feet, and it's hard when you've got a moving...
So, but that's... Anyway, that's what the modeling is going to tell us. Because to me, it's really important right now with all the construction happening at the foot of those two runways that are the cause of most of our grief. We need to understand what's going to happen to that noise, because we are going to change it by all the construction that we're going to have in that area. And that's what I'm trying to understand with the noise modeling. So,
one of the cool things, Bert, and this is airport land, there's a property called Site 7. And if you know where the Chevron gas station is, if you go behind the Chevron gas station, there's this plot that SFO uses right now for construction. It's a construction staging area, so it's usually got
the Chevron gas station on Millbrae Avenue.
The Chevron gas station on Millbrae Avenue.
Okay.
Right behind it is a street called Aviador. It used to connect into Millbrae Avenue. It's been cut off, mainly so we stop traffic from going through into the Bayside Manor neighborhood. Along that street, that's where the new Bay Trail connection is going to be as part of this project. Brand new separated bike path. And then there's Site 7, and then there's this other site that I think, I don't know if that's SFO property or SFPUC property or CAP. There's so many utility owners of land down there. That's a site for a forest, fairly closed in. I mean, it's thick. San Francisco would have to give up Site 7 and turn it into something else. But that's a place right there. It could also mean that I need to go back, Sam, when we look at the east side of the new hotel and the veterans housing, that we need to put some more trees. We already talked to the hotel about a green wall. But green walls are pretty close in, and it was mainly done for looks, but also some carbon absorption. There's some ways that we can do there, but we just need to have a better handle of how does sound bounce.
Right, and that's what this noise modeling is going to help us do. So back to you, Gene, is when, give me an idea of a timeline on this noise modeling project.
We don't have a timeline yet. I'll just work with James and try to figure out based on that what we're, because we also have to understand what aircraft operations and what aircraft types we're going to model as well. Like I said, this can become a really extensive modeling exercise and take months. So we need to really focus it in order to get you the understanding that you need of how these things are interacting with it. So, like I said, I'll get with our modeler, figure out how we're going to do the inputs, and then Justin and the modeler will work together with James to come up with a more known schedule at that point.
Yeah, and I feel like I need to wrap my head around these multiple parts because, remember, we're doing the one thing that we got on our list here is the white paper for vegetation. We're looking at the
presentation,
spectral analysis. So the cool thing is all these are parts of what the study will be.
Correct.
So right now I'm just trying to kind of sector in which of these elements are going to go to get to the part where we say, okay, these are the things we need to study, and oh, we've already started working on these parts that plug into that.
There's a matter of urgency to this because of SB 50. There are a lot of proposals going forth right now on buildings. If it's diffusing sound in ways we're not expecting, up and over and then a wider path, we need to understand that pretty quickly. I mean, there's a big development going in Daly City. I mean, I can see how that re-changed.
The one above Ceremony?
Yeah.
The 10-story buildings?
I'll discuss with them to see what information we can get quicker. My concern is that what do we need first? The study, this, that, so there's on top of everything else, roundtable is.
I still am unclear about what absorption material actually does or doesn't do. I'm not clear.
Yeah, me too. I thought I was, but apparently I have a misunderstanding.
I don't think the research is.
I think I remember that they said that it does. It's very effective at absorbing sound, but they had said that it wouldn't be helpful facing the barrier because the barrier was too short. It was below engines.
Yeah, and specific about the airport barrier, that
yeah,
wall,
the airport,
but not necessarily about buildings.
Not necessarily about buildings.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? We can review the information that it's already been presented to us, so we can review some of the information about materials, and then we can go from there. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if it fits in this topic, but I am cleared it with our city manager this morning to start plotting out where our residents are hearing noise, sometimes for the first time. Like I said before you came in, the Meadows neighborhood, which is up on top, some parts of Meadows are starting to hear noise where they don't remember hearing noise before. So I'm gonna try to get my hands around what, when, and where. Right now I'm concentrating more on nighttime noise, and I honestly think we as city.
And how are you, when you're plotting it, what are you basing it on?
That's a good question. You know, I'll run it past you guys just to say it. I have to get it written out in my, like, this is what I need from you, resident. I need to know that it's 114 Ridgewood at midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're hearing it sort of from the direction of blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I have to kind of, I've been sending things to Bert, sometimes because I can't sleep, but also so that I get a better handle of what is useful and what isn't, the duration, and you know the really tough thing is just how noisy is it, because it's so subjective.
Well, it is, and then you go back to what Joe said before, that once you start paying attention, you hear a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So, and if it's a night you can't sleep, then it just seems to be. But there are definitely times when it's really, really.
Right, and I think there is a value in, because again, when this guy that I know told me about moving from one area to the other and going from never hearing it to not sleeping at night. It intrigued me, and I wish I could map it out and get a better sense of it, because...
But just our city manager this morning and I, we were saying, well, what about here? And I go, yeah, but Tom, that's right near a pretty noisy corner anyway. Does it make sense to put it on the corner Hillcrest and El Camino when we've got so much cut-through traffic? Or is it better to put it by Lomita Park School? Because then you've got children involved.
How are you plotting it in?
I'm not exactly sure, but we're working on getting a map so that if we get the data from our residents... And some of this is just so that when we bring the portable monitors out, we try to put them in a place that's actually going to get us useful data. And that's not to say that there aren't other parts of town hearing noise, but where might be the best places to catch it? And then we've got the problem of ambient noise. In my perfect world, I would tell you we should all be going for electric leaf blowers, get rid of that one power source or noise source. We should be, you know, there's a bunch of things we can do to bring ambient down, which puts pressure.
And I'm going to let Joe has a comment.
That's kind of where
I am. Can I assume you've all read the report on my portable monitor that I had in my yard for about 3 weeks?
You're the Birmingham?
Yeah.
The Birmingham one?
Have you read that?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen the 79 dBs for 40 seconds at 10:15 p.m. It's all here, you guys. And I'm not saying it's the only, that's one data point, mm-hmm. but you can get a lot of information.
No, we have, and we have other, because there was others in Burlingame.
Yeah, there's the permanents.
Yes, no, and there's also portables that were also in another part of Burlingame.
Yeah.
I can't think of where
See,
it was.
See, we've had no portables in Millbrae. We've got two permanents, but one is almost completely discounted because it's right next to the train and BART and the freeway. And
they listen, humans listen to the audio and can distinguish all that if they're willing to do the work that I got done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll show you. I put a little placebo in here.
And Sam, I actually had extra copies of this and passed it on to the city manager, but I'll talk to Tom, our city manager, about creating an internal group on this.
I put a placebo in here of playing music loudly one night just to see if it got picked up, and it got picked up and identified as music, not airplane noise.
Hmm.
So,
really?
Yeah. They just have to be willing to sit and listen to it all.
Okay, so back to, let's finish off item number four, and then we can go to items that are not on the agenda. So the timeline, and again, want to be sensitive to members of the public who are calling for a timeline. So the timeline on the noise modeling is kind of vague. Right now we're going to kind of collect the data to figure out what we need to, what the study is going to be, the modeling is going to be, and try to determine the scope of the model based on financial limitations and other time limitations. Correct?
Ricardo?
Yes, ma'am?
I think I heard Gene say that he would reach out to the cities this week to let them know what kind of information he needs from the cities.
He's going to send that to me.
James and James will send us.
So that's a first step.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, Gene, that's good with you?
Yeah, so I'm not reaching out to the cities, but I'm going to provide James the what we need and what format we needed it and those sorts of things, and then we'll start reaching out.
Great, and then he will send it to us, and we will get it to the right people in the cities.
Correct.
Okay.
And another obvious thing in there, Gene, is the radius that we're talking about for... man-made structure information, right? How far out are you going?
Right, and that's part of determining
that,
that's part of determining the scope.
Right.
Because we don't want to go all the way to San Francisco because that clearly doesn't have an impact, but we need to figure out where to draw the line.
Maybe there's best practice somehow.
Pardon?
Best practice.
Okay. Yeah. And I suspect that they have some parameters that they work with. So, anything else on this item?
Actually, Gene, you mentioned earlier that you thought HMMH had used the sound plan model with some other airports that might be instructive for us. Do you know if those considered were looking at ground-based noise specifically off the top of your head?
Were they looking at what? I'm sorry, I messed it up.
Ground-based noise, low frequency.
Ground-based, yes. All the sound plan work we've done at airports has been for ground-based.
Okay, so that would be helpful too to see maybe, I don't know, executive summary of the other, of the airports you've already, that have already been analyzed under this technology.
Yeah, that would be very helpful.
Sure, but they all had slightly different scopes, so it wasn't, like in one case, all we were doing was analyzing the effectiveness of a barrier that they were proposing, but yes, we can put together some sort of list of what the scope of work was in summary.
Perfect.
Okay, great, thank you.
Very helpful, thank you. Okay, so anything else on this item?
Sorry. And yes. So Gene's going to provide that to Linda or to whom?
Gene always provides to James because okay. He manages the contract that they do manage. So
okay,
just
so
the procedure.
So Gene will provide that this week to James?
Yes. This.
We should be able to get that to James this week.
Yes, yes, but let me, I'm going to put a little reality check in here. I've got a lot. So this item in here is going to be probably the more vague of all of them. So I'm going to probably just say right now, we will work with HMMH over the next month to figure out, okay, can, you know, these are all the materials that they need, and then based off of the feedback I get from some of the members, can we provide that to them? Mm-hmm. Then that's where maybe Gene can provide some general timelines. And then maybe that's something we can then transmit out later in December, for certainly by the January meeting, on what kind of time frame do we need on that. Because again, remember, we have at least three other things that this group is asking for that we're trying to get accomplished. So this is probably going to be, I'm just trying to kind of prioritize a little bit here based off the amount of work that's going to be necessary for that. So.
Sorry, just to be clear, these were reports he already had from other airports that he would pass to you. So that.
No, you're, we're talking about the materials.
No,
So one of the things that we just talked about with Gene was about giving us executive summaries of reports that have been done for other airports.
Okay, I see.
Those can be done in a short period of time. What you're talking about for the
I understand now. Sorry, I've got All right, let
James
me.
Still has to do the process.
Yeah, I still have to put the packet for the next meeting, and never mind my other job. As well. So
No, I'm not. Let me just clarify, because we understand that the next steps for this noise modeling is going to take a little while. That's not going to be easy. The part that is easy is getting the executive summaries from the other reports that have already been done. So that's, you tell me what you need, James.
So Gene is providing executive summary from these reports, and then I am, what's your pleasure here,
James?
We would just like for you to forward them to us.
Okay. That's and I will take direction from there in regards to if that gets posted online or not.
Perfect. Okay. Anybody else? Any other issues with item number 4? Okay. With that, then I will open it to public comment of items that are not on the agenda. Yes, Peggy.
I would like to clarify, Bert, can you tell us, are the noise monitors, the new noise monitors, are they collecting ground-based noise?
They're collecting all noise.
So that the ground-based noise aspect has been turned on all monitors?
We are collecting all noise. Now, as far as reporting back out on it, we haven't designed those reports yet. So data's there. We just need to figure out how to pull it, and report it.
And what's the timeline for reporting out to that noise? And apologies for not asking the question correctly to get the answer I was looking for.
Right now, we haven't gone down that path with the roundtable yet. As far as what we're doing with the system right now, all but two sites are in on the permanent side. We're finishing off two. Up in San Bruno, and then it was a Burlingame for site 11. We have to relocate that one, and if you don't mind, I'll give a report out on that. I plan to do that today anyway. So the last time we met, we found the homeowners had effected a land swap. New homeowner where our site's located next to the school
did not want it there, wanted us to remove it. We agreed to do that. We've met with the school, and right now we have a tentative agreement from them.
Okay.
They're happy with us just coming a few feet around the corner of their fence line. We'll stay outside the fence, so we don't actually have to go into the school. We'll just notify them ahead of time when we get there. In the interim, what we're going to do, and we have to do our change order on that with the vendor, but the plan is to set up a portable there on their rooftop right next to where we are right now. So we'll run on a portable while that site is demolished down below grade level, because we have to take out the foundation, put it back the way it should be, and then start the new site right next to the fence line, drop in the foundation, put the pole in, and then at that time we'll move over to our permanent equipment in that site. So we shouldn't have much of a loss of data at that site, which is good. Didn't want to lose that. And then I believe within about a month, month and a half, we'll be good to go on site 11. So that'd be all of our sites in. Next step would be state certification of all of our sites. And then after that, we'll be going into what we need for reports and items like that from our system.
So no timeline on when the reporting of ground-based noise?
Not at this time, no.
One thing we had talked about with the vendor some months ago, I don't remember what stage, but was them coming up with a straw man report to share with the roundtable, at which time the roundtable could give feedback about whether or not the presentation of data was in a format that was useful for people who were going to be reviewing it. So I'll just remind that that would be a great thing, whether they want to do one straw man or three different options or list of options or however the vendor would like to do that. But I think that is very important to the full roundtable to see. And that's everything. It's ground-based noise, but also other reports on other data.
Question, would that come to us first so that we could dive in and overanalyze it before it goes to the roundtable, where there's usually less in-depth discussion?
Oh, I'm definitely fine with that. I think this group should.
Maybe put that in a form of
the
request
group.
That we all say,
I think that would make sense, because often at the roundtable, we're at this level
yeah.
and we're down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At that level.
No, this is for to go into the weeds.
Cool.
So it sounds like that might not be ready for January, but maybe target for the March meeting, maybe?
Right now, we're still trying to get around the certification. So,
yeah, so March-ish.
Possible. I'm not going to guarantee.
Okay.
So we'll just mark that as an update in January.
And so far, the working group hasn't been dealing with anything of ground-based noise, because we've got this group, right? So we don't have to go to working group before going to the round.
Okay. Any other issues? Members of the yes, ma'am.
Just ask a question.
Yes, please.
My name is Ashley. I'm a resident of San Francisco. It's the first one of these meetings I've attended. I just want to be clear on when you say recording all noise, I'm assuming that means noise from airplanes in flight.
Actually, all noise.
Aircraft in flight.
But it's actually.
No, the system's dumb, truthfully, at the terminals. It gathers whatever's going around, leaf blowers, cars, airplanes, people
loud music.
Shouting loud music, whatever. It then takes the smarts and then goes ahead and tries to bucket it.
Decipher what it's hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So where are those places, where is all the sound being, as you say, recorded? Like, is it, I mean, in terms of the area?
We have 29 noise monitoring sites up and down the peninsula. And then from there, it's based, their locations were based on the departure and arrival patterns from SFO.
So none of those are, say, north of South San Francisco?
No, we have six sites in the city.
Oh, six sites in the city.
I believe
okay.
six. Yeah.
Permanent sites.
Permanent sites.
Because there's also the temporary in Brisbane and a temporary in Daly City. Don't we get the temporary reports from, or maybe
you
those?
Yeah, Portola Valley, Woodside, and Brisbane, two
okay.
sites.
So those are permanents?
Is there a place where I could get the information?
What I would encourage you to do is just go to any of our older meeting packets.
Okay.
There's always a noise report in there, and there's always a map in there that shows you.
Or you can go direct at flyasinfo.com and go to our reports. And you'll see the director's report and the quarterly noise report.
And there is a map somewhere that shows all the locations.
Mm-hmm. It's on we have a live tracking of aircraft.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to come to our meetings for the regular roundtable that are more that impact more what you're concerned with than this subcommittee.
Yes, understood.
I think it's a good place to learn a lot. There's a lot of information shared. I encourage you to do that.
I will do that. Yes.
And so
one last question. How long has that been in place? Like recording the noise, roughly? Like 20 years? 10 years?
The initial sites went in 1970s. I believe it was 8 sites near the airport. We expanded out to 16 after that, and then we went more.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Is
the trend for a higher number then, since 70 or 90, whenever you put them in? Have you seen the numbers increase every year?
You mean the amount of noise?
Yeah.
Or the numbers of monitors?
Generally speaking, 1983 was our loudest noise, largest and loudest noise contour. Has shrunk since then. Now, right now, we're sort of in an ebb with airlines buying new aircraft, which are quieter, and operations on the increase. Well, had been. Now we're on the decrease. We're noticing operations going back out to Oakland and San Jose, so the numbers are declining.
One clarification as the airplanes got quieter, was it only the in-flight or was it also the portion of ground-based noise too? So is there an actual reduction in GBN from class 2, 3, 4 to 5?
Well, that was not.
That's a two-edged sword. Generally, engines are quieter. Now, has A-weighted noise decreased and C-weighted noise increased? To some degree, yes.
And for you, when he's talking about A-rated is the higher frequency, C-rated the lower frequency.
C-rated
so
is low frequency.
When the contours are based on A-weighted and they've shrunk, so for example, there was a much greater portion of Milbrae all the way up, up back this way that would qualify for the insulation program. Now only 3 houses in Milbrae qualify. And to me, it doesn't make sense. But if it's based on the high noise, but not the low noise, so that's a question that I have each of these meetings.
What is the decibel level to be included in the soundproofing?
65. Federal and state standard.
And that's an average.
It's an average.
That's an average number. Everybody needs to be reminded of that.
24-hour to 1-year
period. Be always taken.
So you would have to have a monitor then on your home to reflect. How do you get into the program?
Why don't you and I talk offline?
Yeah.
We'll talk.
I'll be happy
contours.
To talk with you.
They draw the contours, but so it's a complicated process, and Anne could share that with you. But and before you walk up,
finished. There was a map right here.
Oh, okay.
I'll
but
let her.
That, is there any other comments? Anything else? I unfortunately have to head back. So. Anyway, with that, we're going to be adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here.
This is where the planes take off.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is great.
Thank you. Sorry, I was late. I had something.
Yes, sir.
Anybody want?